Today in the north we have so many other dioceses, but we came out of Kaduna Diocese, and the then bishop was the retired Bishop William Deer. I am the second bishop of the diocese. He worked rigorously. Kafanchan is not in the city, is away from Kaduna, and not really, it's like a rural diocese. But the bishop then worked assiduously, and the diocese was able to create two more dioceses. At a point we had over 400 churches, and the bishop was getting a little bit weak and yet far away from retirement. Then the prime minister said, look, the only way to help this man is to cut the diocese just so that we can reduce the workload on him. So the diocese of Zonkwa was created. And later now the team continued growing again. The Akiola came and said, look, he cannot still handle it. Let us also create the diocese of Koi. So from that time to now, two dioceses came out of Kafanchan. Now, presently, we have about 112 churches. But the sad story about it is that the main churches were taken to Zonkwa Diocese and some few to Koi Diocese. So we were left to start all over again in the rural areas. So actually, the 112 churches are predominantly rural churches. Now, when I say rural churches, you understand, those of you who have been to Nigeria, some of them who have come, though they didn't really go into the interior, but they are rural. They are churches like you have maybe about 30 people, 45 people, 120 people. In Nigeria, that is quite a very, very small congregation, because you can go to some big cities, you see people in thousands. Some have like 5 sessions of worship in a Sunday. So, but for us here, we don't have that kind of number. But to God be the glory, we've been working so hard. Actually, when I came in as bishop, we had only 105 churches. So we started 7 new ones. We had some interruption because we came in 2011, and that was when the real crisis started. After the election of our brother, the past president, Goodluck Ebele Jonathan, you know, he's an Anglican. So there were a lot of crises in the area that really affected and also impaired our rate of growth and church opening of new churches. So far, that is where we are, and I'm the bishop, and I have about 82 clergy and evangelists working with me. Yeah.
Bishop, I wonder if you would tell us one or two of the obstacles. For those of you who don't know, his diocese is in the very north of Nigeria. Would you care to comment on some of the obstacles that you've faced, even personally, in your area?
Well, we face a lot of obstacles, but for our ministry and our personal life. Now, one of the things people generally know about Nigeria is the issue of Boko Haram, Boko Haram, Boko Haram. And people talk about Boko Haram in the far northeastern part of Nigeria. But like Boko Haram is like more of an umbrella name. There are so many other terrorist groups in Nigeria that Boko Haram activity has overshadowed them. We have the Ansaras, we have the Fulani militants, we have different forms of them. Their activities and program is exactly like those of Boko Haram. Now, the misleading position here is that most people thought that Boko Haram is attacking both Christian and Muslim in Nigeria. It's not very true. Where you see attacks on both Christian and Muslim, they attack only those Muslim sect that preach against them. So they attack them the same way they attack Christian. But in real sense, it's an effort to establish an Islamic state in Nigeria. That is the effort. Now, you all heard about the 267 Chibok girls that were taken away from Nigeria. I don't know whether you know that out of the 267, only 16 are Muslim. The 251 are all Christian girls. Until today, over 200 of them are still at large. They couldn't be recovered. So that is that challenge. Now, in Kafanchan, we don't have like you see Boko Haram, but we have other Islamic militant group attacking, and it has always been continuous. From 2011, we have lost a lot of our members. I can't forget one incident that happened on the 16th of March, 2014. That day, I left the eastern part of Nigeria to preach in a crusade at Ebonyi State. Now, I just arrived at the crusade ground, and we had the first session in the night. I was moved to my hotel around 12:30 in the night. The clergy working in one of the villages called Bondon now called me, said, Daddy, said, there are Fulani men that are attacking, and I'm hearing gun, pow, pow, pow. And you couldn't continue talking, then the phone went off. And I couldn't get back to him until around 4 o'clock in the morning. He said, by the time he was talking to me, he narrowly escaped. He was able to pull out the wife and the children and push them outside the house. He remembered his handset. He ran to take the handset. Then they were facing his door with the gun. He managed to escape. Now, after that attack that very night, the next day my wife had to go there because I'm not around. We lost 156 people. Yes. In one of the rooms, women ran inside and children and gathered. 42 women and children were burned into ashes. Yeah, that attack was really a terrible one. And after that, we keep on having different attacks. Last year was very bad. From April 2016 up to February this year was very bad in Kafanchan. We have lost a lot of churches, and over 27 villages have been attacked. In fact, one of the sad ones was a young lady who was ripped open, and the baby was sliced into two, and then she was killed. Now, a lecturer from that area ran to my house, and she was saying, this lady was ripped, and she was like, she doesn't know who she is. While we were talking about her right in the house, somebody put a phone call to her and said it was his daughter. And she switched off the phone. She said, Daddy? I said, yes. He said, it was the PTA chairman of our school. It was his daughter that was ripped open, and the baby sliced, and then she was killed. Now, we had a series of those incidents. It's a very big challenge to us. Now, you see yourself as a pastor who's supposed to be giving life to people. You see yourself in a situation whereby you do more of an undertaker job or funeral services more than preaching the gospel, because every day people are being killed. And sometimes you don't know what to tell your congregation. It's been a very, very big challenge. Now, we had also such kind of challenges as personally, because when those things happen, I still have to go there, visit the people, and talk with them. One surprising thing you need to know is that that very day we had an attack in Bondon. The next day, Sunday, people were gathered in church to worship. The attack we have in September at Godogodo, the next day on Sunday, people gathered there to worship. So whatever you do, people are always there. And when you go there to visit them as their pastor, they feel so happy that, look, this incident happened and you came to visit them. So the continuous attack and killing of people in that area has been a serious challenge to us. Now, we work there. By the grace of God, God bless our marriage, me and my wife, with 4 kids. And let me also tell you here that my wife was a convert from Islam. Yes. Yeah. Her father used to be the chief imam in Zaria Emirate. Those of you who know Zaria, you know he's one of the strongest emirate in the north. Now, he was the chief imam there. In one of those years, he went to the Mecca for the normal pilgrimage. He said they were before this black stone to stone the devil as a usual practice. Then an Arab boy was standing by his side, was speaking in Arabic. Then he said, these guys must be fools. He said, every day you come here, gather stone, and you are stoning the devil. You have not killed him, and you gather stone. And the other guy said, just keep quiet, what concerns you? At least they are bringing revenue to our country. And my father-in-law said he couldn't use the 3 stones to stone the devil. And that night he went back to sleep, and he had a vision, a dream, and he saw Jesus Christ speaking to him. He came back to Nigeria. The same night he had that dream, the wife in Nigeria also had the same dream, according to him. So when he came back to Nigeria, he would sneak on Sunday and go to somewhere in Osabangari. He will now attend an Equa church and come back. Gradually, they begin to notice that, look, this man is going somewhere. I started tracing him. Then the wife said, people are getting worried about you sneaking on Sunday, not staying behind to teach people Quran. Because he was not dealing with the lower al-Majri, he's dealing with the high class in the Emirate. He is their teacher. So he now told his wife a testimony. And she told him also she had that, she saw that dream. She saw that cross, she saw that Jesus. So they finally decided they have to run away from the Emirate. Well, the long and short of the story is that my mother-in-law was killed and my father-in-law also was killed. But my wife has been a very strong backbone and encouragement to me and my ministry. She lost prayer and God gave her a very unique ministry. She has the gift of discernment. If you said, I want to travel to Tulsa, and my wife said, don't travel, don't travel. I'm telling you, anything I want to do, if she said no, it won't happen, it will not happen. You tell me, I'll be coming to visit you on Saturday, and I said, please get something ready, you know. She said, are you sure he will come? I don't, you will not come. If she said you will not come, you will not come. So she has been very close to me, and because she's an orphan, I'm also an orphan, so we knew nobody, we hold ourselves together. She has been a very strong partner. But many a time we see a lot of challenges because we have four boys who are growing in our hands. We have Sammy is 18. We have Stephanas is 15. We have Jethro, he's 10. Then we have Jeremy, who is just 3. Now, we have had a lot of challenges to the extent that sometime this year, my son was telling me that, look, he is strongly thinking that we have to leave this area. Now, I now started sensing that they are getting discouraged. They are becoming fearful. And I told him, I said, look, I am a bishop. And by the dictate of the Church of Nigeria, I can't live here. This is my final destination until I retire or die. He said, this place is becoming dangerous to live. I said, yes. But that is why we need to pray continually so that we ask God to help us. So it is becoming a very big concern. Why? Because our children are becoming more fearful and getting much disturbed. We have other challenges personally that has to do with how to take care of them, how to take care of ourselves, and how to do ministry. We are a very, very rural diocese, and we have challenges of issues, you know, funds and other things. But he came and saw what we are doing. God has helped us. We have done greatly well. If you come to Kafanchan, you won't believe what I'm saying. But we have laid our hands to work, and we told God that we're going to put the whole of our life here and work with integrity. God has been raising support and doing some wonderful work in Kafanchan. And let me assure you here that we're not going back. We will remain there. Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much, Your Grace. For those of you who would like to know more about not just the Church of Nigeria, but specifically the Diocese of Kafanchan, I would urge you to ask Bishop Dogo and just talk to him a little bit. Janet and I had not been to Nigeria prior to coming and being part of their diocese for a bit, and it is indeed an eye-opener, and especially the courage, the vitality, and the Christian witness that you see on the ground, and certainly in this bishop. So we are adjourned back over to meet the ladies, I take it. Is that right, Matt? Please, hang on just a moment.
Sorry, please, can I say this? I told you that we have challenges here and there, but I also need to tell you some of the little things we do to cope the challenges. He saw it. When we went to Kafanchan, we need to build some bases that will allow us to expand our mission there. We started doing some kind of entrepreneurship. He saw that in Kafanchan we have what we call Anglican block and concrete industry. So we mold blocks, we sell cement, we make culvert rings, and we sell to raise funds for the diocese. My wife started a skill acquisition center. Because of the crisis, we have so many widows in Kafanchan. We have over 2,000 widows in Anglican diocese, in Anglican church alone, because their husband has been killed and so many orphans. So my wife started skill acquisition center. And I told him that was started by the Church of the Holy Trinity in Tulsa. His predecessor once came with Julian and said, I have some money here, and that I want to give it to Marcus, whatever you want to do with it. So we collected the money, and I said, Julian, I want to give it to my wife. She has a vision for a skill acquisition center for widows and orphans. And we gave the money to her, and she was able to drill a borehole where we started making concrete blocks and started building. That building has two phases. The first phase was completed. She built sewing, weaving, embroidery making, and popcorn making center where women, widows will come and learn and go back and be empowered to carry on. Now, the moment we just started that, she bought industrial machine and so many other things. We realized that the women are in rural areas. They have to come and live there for 3 or 6 months to learn to go, but there was nowhere to live. So she went ahead to start building a 24-room guest house. He saw the structure. We took it to roof level by the time you came. Before I came here, we have put the roof on it. So when we are done with that, we will have the capacity of bringing about 300 widows and orphans. They will come and stay for about 3 months or 6 months. They will learn sewing. They will learn weaving. They will learn how to make popcorn, how to bake cakes. My wife knew all this catering thing. So they will now go back, and they will be somehow empowered in a very little way to see how they can continue with that. She is intending that any woman that finished learning how to sew, she will give her a sewing machine, and she will now go back to the village, and she will now know how to take care of that to help her and to help her orphan children. So this is some of the things we are doing to see we cope with the problem that we have at hand. But it's been fantastic all through the way God has been helping.